You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Wednesday. You can join Alex Dunn, Gary Capewell and Will Smith on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon for all the day's action. It's a 1:50 start and it's quite a busy day of racing as well. We'll get into that in a little while here on the podcast. My name's John Gibbion.
Gareth Topham is with me. Hello, Gareth.
Hello, John.
Are you well?
Yeah, well, busy.
Yeah.
So, busy time of year, isn't it? So, it'll soon dry up come the colder months. So, yeah, at the moment, making hay while the sun shines.
Fantastic. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? We're going to get on to talk about the racing on Wednesday and also a little bit further afield as well in terms of the Irish Oaks. But first up, just putting a mention for the big news that came out this morning, and that is that Massar has been retired. The Derby winner from last year, Charlie Appleby's stable star, returning this year, of course, or certainly one of his stable stars anyway, but two disappointing runs, Royal Ascot and last week at Newmarket on the July course. It looked like they might be trying again at one point there, Gareth, but they've said enough is enough, and the end of his career.
Yeah, it was interesting because a couple of days ago I read that they were adamant that Massar hadn't lost his mojo, as it were, and then a couple of days after they retired him. For me, he just hasn't looked the same horse in either start this season. And obviously, after the Derby last year, he missed the rest of the season. So there's obviously been some problems with him, and he's just not come back in the same sort of form. And, you know, that run last week at Newmarket was, however you try and sweeten it up, it was disappointing. You know, he trailed in last. He's a Derby winner. He was mightily talented the day he won the Derby, but sadly that flame appeared to have ebbed out somewhat.
Because he had many other wins through his career at two and early on in the three-year-old career as well. He won the Craven, of course, won the Solario Stakes, I think, as well as a two-year-old. The two runs he's had this year, obviously the one last week at Newmarket was a little bit more disappointing. I think people were holding on at Royal Ascot that there were a couple of excuses, perhaps, but not so much second time out.
Yeah, obviously the Royal Ascot race, it was a hot race to make your reappearance in, whether you're a Group 1 Classic winner or not. You know, it was a very competitive affair with some battle-hardened horses in, and he was returning into that race from a long absence, but yeah, there didn't appear to be any great excuses for what happened last week. And it's a sad sight in a way, because he was a horse that somewhat surprised when he won the Derby, because of course in his younger days, his two-year-old days, he looked to be a horse with an awful lot of speed, and for him to get up to middle distances and win the Derby the way that he did, and obviously the way that last season panned out as well, it turned out that he beat some really, really good horses in the Derby, you know, your Roaring Lions, horses like that. It was a shame that, yeah, as a four-year-old, he was unable to come back and repeat that sort of form. But there we are, they're racehorses, they're not machines. He obviously was quite delicate, for all that he was mightily talented as a three-year-old. And he'll now be off to stud, and hopefully he'll do a great job.
We're just starting to see over the last few years that, well, you don't want to call it a curse just yet, but it's been a bit difficult for Derby winners to come back and win races again. Harzand, I think, won once more after his winning the race in 2016. Golden Horn obviously won a number of races after he won it. Kind of reminds me of the 10 years or so, to a lesser extent, that we had with Grand National winners not coming out and winning again. I think was beaten, was eventually broken by Pino Doré, I think. But it's interesting, because for what we always hold up to be the big quality, certainly three-year-old flat race of the year, that we haven't seen the horses coming out and winning again, though that may well change this year with Anthony Van Dyke.
Yeah, it could do. Obviously, the Derby is a very, very unique race, isn't it? And ultimately, it's a different sort of test that, you know, these horses, once they've gone and won it, they'll probably never race in anything quite as unique ever again. And I think also it separates the, you know, the really good Derby winners, the great Derby winners, from the not so good Derby winners. I remember back in the early 2000s, so we're not going back too far, but, you know, your Sindars and your Galileos and horses like that, which have, you know, gone on to be great sires as well, you know, they were able to come out and win again. But as you've alluded to, John, not all of them, probably, you know, they're in the majority, the ones that do come out and continue to go on. Golden Horn, of course, in recent years, very recent years, being the exception.
Well, that's the news that Massar has been retired. Last year's Derby winner retired to stud after two disappointing runs so far in 2019. We won't be seeing him again. Well, speaking of classics, we've got an Irish classic coming up this weekend, Gareth, the Irish Oaks, and we've had the confirmations come through this morning, well, the entries at the five-day stage anyway. Iridesa is currently the 9-4 favourite at time of recording with us here at William Hill. Pink Dogwood 5-2, Fleeting 5-1, Starcatcher is 11-2, Antonio de Vega 8-1, 9-1 Manuela de Vega, and 12-1 and bigger for the rest. Kind of seeing in this race, certainly with those towards the head of the bend, you've got the conflicting form lines of both the Pretty Polly and the Ribblesdale coming into play with many of those who are around favouritism. Probably not the strongest Irish Oaks of all time, but though there might not be one absolute superstar, there are a lot of quite good three up for this issue.
Yeah, and a lot of them have obviously met each other already this term, if not as a two-year-old, and Iridesa seemed to really thwart Pink Dogwood, among others, when landing the Pretty Polly at the Curragh back at the end of June. That was a good performance, and you know, as a result of that, she probably is the rightful favourite over her old rival. The Magnia Silks could be represented by a whole host of them, the likes of Fleeting, who we've mentioned, Goddess, who looked a real world beater in that race. She won at Leopardstown as a two-year-old, but she's not really gone on and proved herself at the highest level so far this term. They're also represented potentially by Credenza and Shabley as well, so no doubt they've got a strong hand in what looks a pretty open affair. Pink Dogwood, as we've already mentioned, you know, she's looked to be right up there with the top three-year-old middle distance fillies so far this term, a really good second at Epsom. She probably had a hard enough race that day, going down narrowly to Annapurna, and was unable to go in at a short price behind Iridesa last time out. But she, for me, is very, very solid, Pink Dogwood, and I think of all of them, she's more likely to give a running than a few. But on the Pretty Polly form, Iridesa, for me, the way that she went and won that suggests that in a generation that might not be at the moment supplying an absolute superstar, she might well be good enough to go on to classic glory.
Well, we'll see what happens in the Irish Oaks this weekend. Of course, one of a few good races were coming up. Not exactly a proper headline weekend in terms of the quality of racing, but still a few interesting contests to come from Newbury, in particular over in the UK as well, of course, and a couple of decent days of racing over in Ireland, with the Irish Oaks being the feature. Now, let's turn our attention to the nearer future, Gareth, and we'll take a look at Wednesday's racing. As usual on the podcast, you've come up with two selections for us, so why don't you tell us where the first of those is going to run?
They're both running at the same meeting. I'm going to the seaside. I'm going to Yarmouth tomorrow evening, and I'm just going to follow a couple of trainers which are in fairly good form at the moment, one being Rebecca Basterman, the other one being Mark Johnston. Rebecca Basterman, who trains in Wetherby, that's a fair way down to Yarmouth, but she sends her Pontefract specialist and recent winner Edgar Allan Poe down for a Class 5 handicap, for which he carries plenty of weight, 10 stone 3, but he's quite a sizeable horse, Edgar Allan Poe. I called that race that he won at Pontefract back at last week, and he was well on top at the line as well. And he's just a likeable horse, and he seems to be thriving at the moment. He's won three of his last four outings, and I think it's a bold move from Rebecca, who saddled a winner at Ayr yesterday as well, to send him all this way. And although he bumps into one or two interesting horses, the likes of Earth and Sky, who's now racing in handicaps for trainer George Scott, and the in-form Rock the Cradle, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if Edgar Allan Poe himself was able to continue this forward progression, because, as I say, he's won three of his last four, he's in great form, and he was well on top at his favourite track last time. So in the 6:40, Edgar Allan Poe, and in the race after that, the 7:10, I'm going to go for the very consistent Smile a Mile, who's representing Mark Johnston. James Doyle taking the ride. It's a tightly knit little handicap, but of the five runners, you know, this is the horse that comes into it with the compelling profile, particularly in recent weeks. They aren't all in form, so whilst there's not even a stone between them top to bottom, I think Smile a Mile is the one that's in the best fettle, in the best heart at the moment, and the trainer, let's face it, couldn't be in better form. So that's Smile a Mile in the 7:10. I'm going to double that one up with Edgar Allan Poe in the 6:40 at Yarmouth.
Bucket and spade in hand, Gareth Topham heading to the seaside there for his two selections. Both running at sea, Yarmouth tomorrow evening, so it'll be interesting to see how those two get on. And
Well, you can hear all the action live on Racing Radio. Of course, 1:50 p.m. is when we're getting things underway on Wednesday. Join us throughout the week. Join us throughout the week on the podcast as well, of course. And Gareth, thanks for being with us on today's edition.
Pleasure, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.